There are only two things you can do with guilt. Hide it or confess it before God. The 9 most difficult words to say are, I was wrong, I am sorry, please forgive me. Oh, how those words hurt our human pride. They show us at our worst, offensive and needing forgiveness. The difficulty in dealing with that issue causes many people to neglect or refuse to deal honestly with the problem of guilt. So it is necessary at this point in our study to consider how to deal with guilt. Here are several guidelines which I feel are reliable for you to follow. First, distinguish between true and false guilt. There is a difference. I was visiting a tourist area in the state of Arizona. One of the attractions was a collection of cages which held different types of deadly poisonous snakes. One was a diamondback rattlesnake. As a group of tourists were gathered around its cage, amazed at its size and potential danger, the owner of the business touched an electric button. It activated a little unit which buzzed just like one of those snakes was outside the cage and at the tourist's feet. They jumped and screamed and thought they had been bitten. It was all a joke, of course, and they laughed about it afterwards, but at the moment they thought it was real. Now just so, some guilt is real, and some guilt is false, though it appears to be real. False guilt is caused by setting too high a standard for oneself, a problem for people with perfectionist tendencies, by the way, or by trying to live by the standards others set for us, or listening to the evil doctrines of false teachers, or listening to the accusation of the devil. It can be experienced whether one has any reason to feel guilty or not. True guilt is caused by the conviction of the Holy Spirit because of some specific transgression of God's law. True guilt will be related to some violation of Bible teachings. It will cease when sins have been confessed to God, and it will be followed by feelings of relief when God has forgiven you. True guilt is by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. False guilt is by the accusation of the devil. Second, refuse to accept substitutes for forgiveness of what caused the guilt in the first place. Now, there are so many substitutes available today. We can rationalize, I'm only human. It was a natural mistake. No one is perfect. And thus we try to keep from facing the seriousness of the offense and the guilt which follows our violation of God's holy law. We minimize the offense. Lust is called love. A lie is called a fib, or a white lie at very worst. Adultery is called an affair. But sin is sin by whatever name it may be called. Call sin by its real name and tell God about it. Again, we project the guilt to others. We blame someone else with the responsibility of our wrongdoing. We accuse another of the evil which we have done, and we refuse to accept personal blame for personal acts. Yet again, we suppress the guilt. We pretend it is not there. We ignore the prickings of our conscience. We refuse to think of it. The result is that guilt is pressed into the subconscious mind where it stays and continues to work. The results are that we become physically and are emotionally ill and often need professional help to rid our spirits of the malady which has set upon us. Again, we live in remorse. We admit our wrong. We live the past over and over. We accuse ourselves. We say, if only I had done this, or if only I had not done that. And the burden grows greater each time we repeat the problem in our minds. It is a never-ending cycle which leads to despair. That's no way to deal with guilt. It cannot be rationalized, minimized, projected to others, suppressed, or removed by remorse. It can only be forgiven if it is dealt with aright. It can be forgiven only by God. Therefore, come to Him with all your sin and all your guilt. Say to Him, take away our iniquity and receive us graciously. You'll be delighted at His response. Third, learn from the example of those who have dealt with guilt. Mark chapter 6, verses 14 to 29 is an example of one who dealt with guilt in the wrong way. Herod had imprisoned John the Baptist because of something John said which made Herod's wife angry. On a feast day when Herod had drunk well, Herodias, his wife, sent her daughter Salome to dance before him. When Herod was aroused by lust, he offered to Salome anything she requested, even to half of the kingdom. His mother advised her to ask for the head of John the Baptist. So the prophet of God was executed because of the anger of the wicked woman and the weakness of a drunken ruler. Sometime later, Herod heard of the ministry of Jesus. He cried in dismay, "It is John whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead." Of course, it was not John, it was Jesus. But in Herod's guilty conscience, a guilt which had never been dealt with, the accusation came and the fear arose. Now that's always the result of the violation of one's conscience, a yielding to lustful desire, a fear of men which is greater than the fear of God, and a failure to reconcile a wrong and seek God's forgiveness. Anyone who deals wrongly with the problem of guilt will have an accusing and fearful conscience. On the other hand, Luke 18, verses 10 to 14, illustrates how to deal with guilt in a right way. Jesus told of a publican, a tax collector of the Roman government, who went into the Jewish temple to pray. He was so convicted of his sin that he did not even go close to the altar. He did not lift his face toward heaven or lift his hands, as was the customary posture in prayer. Looking downward, he struck his chest in grief over his sins and prayed, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." That was all. Just a simple confession that he was a sinner and a request for God to have mercy on him. Jesus said, "This man went down to his house justified." Now that's the right way to deal with guilt for personal sin. How do you deal with your guilt? God warns, "He who covers his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." There are only two things you can do with guilt: hide it or confess it before God. If you hide it, you will suffer loss. If you confess it, you will have peace. Now, that's why this part of the study has been devoted to dealing with the subject of how to handle guilt. I want you to have relief through forgiveness. When you do, the guilt is gone, and you will have peace. So I encourage you to settle the guilt problem now. Bring it to God. Tell Him the truth about it. Ask for His mercy, and He will abundantly pardon. Blessed Father, I pray that many, many who hear these words, who are laboring under the burden of guilt just now, will come to Jesus in honest confession and in simple faith, and telling Him the truth about themselves, asking for His forgiveness, they will have the peace of God that comes upon cleansing. In Jesus' name, amen.